Alrighty guys, welcome back to KZPT Audio. This is week 10 of 16 of the off-season cut, where I go through my journey of trying to lose some weight and feel the happiest and the healthiest and the fittest I can be, and hopefully bring some value to you guys along the way on how to live that life of feeling great, feeling good, having the motivation to work out, having the motivation to keep going and actually push yourself to your limits. Okay, so this week, obviously last week I had sort of like a 4-week break off the podcast. Didn't mean I necessarily stopped altogether, but had a break of actually being able to go through it, a little bit of sickness, this and that. So today, there's been 1 week since the last one, and we are down in weight, which is fantastic. Starting last week at 90.2, we are at 89.4 for this week. So as you can see in the 30-day difference, it's not a hell of a lot. So if we go to 90.3 on the 13th of August, so it's going down very, very slowly. I guess to myself, this is what I expected, and not just what I expected, but this is what I deserved, because I guess when it comes to the food side of things, once again, a little bit lax. You know, this is not something that, I guess what I wanted to really make through with this podcast and, you know, the journey that I'm going on myself is, you know, what actually happens if I don't take those specific calculations and those specific calories and the specific volume that we're trying to do, and just do your best to live a healthier and happier life through those things by incorporating them, but without, I guess, over-analyzing some of the more specifics, you know, exactly how many calories are on and this sort of thing. Now, I guess looking at it, it is working a little bit. It depends on how far you're looking back. So we can go down here and you can see that this is not the lowest I've been. If we go back to sort of the weekend of July, I was coming down a little bit faster than this. 89.1 was the lowest I was at the 6th of July. So the 9th of July. So it's a very slow process, but this is something that I'm really trying to figure out for myself. You know, what is my natural inclination to, you know, does my body want to put on weight? You know, when I start to eat less, you know, what does my body feel? When I train a certain way, what does my body feel? I want to become very self-aware in what's happening. So I want to actually zoom out a little bit to where we're at. And if you have a look here, this is the 1 year mark. So I guess it is, you know, instead of looking at the actual total weight each day, which you can see bumps up and down all the time, it goes up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, and then you see the smooth line out trend, which is the blue line that runs underneath. So I obviously go through a lot of phases where it goes up, it goes down, and you know, this is something that I look at as, you know, I'm very driven by emotion when it comes to eating and when it comes to training intensity and things like that. You know, I give myself a lot of leeway when I'm not feeling 100% or when I'm feeling really good to really self-monitor and to self-adjust all the way through. So you can see that the trend is slowly starting to come back down. I've got about 6 weeks now to really showcase what I can do, and I think I'm going to take a slightly different approach as we're leading into the final weeks of this podcast. All right, now this is the 1 year, and then if we look at the all, this goes all the way back to, once it loads, this goes all the way back to when I first got my Fitbit in 2017, right before I started my very first comp prep. And this is something that I've gone through before, but something I always like to bring up because it brings into perspective overall of, you know, what it's like to lose weight, gain weight, lose weight, gain weight, nonstop, over and over again. And so this is literally where I started my last prep. And in 2017, I was weighing 87.9 kilos when I first started, before I started prepping and decided that I wanted to see what 100% effort, 100% consistency, 100% discipline looked like and what I could get from those results. And as you can see, it was a pretty sharp decline all the way down to a weigh-in low of 74.2, a weight that I wasn't since I was probably, I was definitely like in the early years of high school, somewhere around year 7, year 8 would be the last time I was in the 70s, right? Now, as you can see, it took from July of 2017 to March of 2018 to get down to the weight that I was after. So it took a matter of 5 months, 8 months in total to bring that down. Okay, that's a long time of dieting, right? Now look how long it took me to put all that weight back on. It took me from at the lowest on the 3rd of January 2018 this is in American. So on the 1st of March, my mistake, of 74.9, 1st of March to the 10th of April, not even 1 month, I was able to put on nearly 15 kilos of weight in 1 month, 30 days. That's half a kilo a day, every day, for a whole month. Okay? So this is something that, you know, someone really has to take into consideration. And, you know, it's why I really respect and admire bodybuilders and physique athletes, because they've tapped into this, to this psyche of just relentless, nonstop effort that not a lot of people can replicate. You know, these guys are some of the, at the top of their sports, where eating and their lifestyles is just like a machine. And for some people that's gonna work really well, for others it's really not gonna work well. And I guess I put myself somewhere in the middle there, where I can respect that and I can push that and do it, if I'm willing to sacrifice all the other things in my life. But on the other hand, I have a lot of empathy for people that, you know, don't have the discipline, but I guess don't have the know-how and the knowledge to really do that. Now, you got to remember that even when I started that first journey, I had already been training for about 7 or 8 years, and I was getting a little bit over the kind of results that I was getting. And that's what sort of prompted me and pushed me to, you know what, let's try something different. Let's try 100% effort rather than, you know, 60%, 70% effort just going into the gym. And they were by far best results I've ever gotten. So there is something definitely to it, but you really need to think about your life and where it's at. The only reason I was able to put that much into it was because I had a deep fear of stepping onto a stage in nothing but underwear and showing off my body. And I didn't want to embarrass myself. So that gave me a little extra push that I don't think, and I know now, because I'm trying to do the same thing, and that same like just locked on deer in the headlights, like just motivation pushing, is not quite there. And I guess I know why, and that's because I don't have that fear of embarrassing myself on stage. So fast forward to putting on all that weight and, you know, going back up to heavier than I actually even started, and going well above 90, where my, you know, little 5'9", 5'8" frame just does not handle very well. And especially the acceleration and how fast that came on was a huge problem. And I looked terrible, I felt terrible, my skin was sore, everything hurt. I basically went like what a lot of physique athletes do at the end of a comp and go, I'm done for quite a while, and I don't need this stress in my life. And you know what, I still love training, you know, and so I'm gonna continue to do that, but there's no way I'm gonna diet like that again for a long, long time. And all of a sudden you see that it starts to really like basically settle down and stabilize at around that 89, 90 kilo mark. Now, over time, what I'm realizing is that's where my body wants to be, right? My body naturally wants to push to that weight and hold that, where it's not a very lean look. You know, I could spend a lot of time and sort of recomp, and, you know, it would take a lot of hard work, I guess, to get my body to be lean at that weight. But regardless, that's where my body's comfortable. That's where I usually have the most, I wouldn't say the most amount of energy, but it's just, I get hungry if I'm below that. So, you know, meals and food never feels like enough. You know, so I just, it's almost like your body's self-regulating to stay at that weight that you've been at for so long. Okay, so looking at the second one, we've got my second comp, and we did not get quite as low as we did last time. The effort was not the same, the output was not the same, the mindset was totally different, because I started to get ahead of, like, you know, oh, I know what I'm doing, you know, I'm gonna make some changes here and there, and started to tweak a few things as we went. And all of a sudden it became very hard, I guess, to know exactly what was working and what wasn't working. And that comp is one where I definitely have regrets. I definitely have regrets in the way that I went about it, especially leading up to the show. My mind just went haywire, and I was thinking very weirdly about the things that I was doing, and, you know, I started to almost self-sabotage. It's very hard to explain, but you can see straight again, boom, finished that show at, just under 80 kilos again, and then boom, straight back up to those heavier weights of around that 90. So no matter what I do, my weight is slowly pulling me back up to that amount, or it's the option that I could possibly go further than that, and, you know, I would maybe approach 100, but my mind, as soon as I start to, you know, see that number on the scales and I start to look at myself in the mirror, I look at it and I'm like, ooh, I don't like what I see. You know, I don't feel good. And that's what sometimes elicits that change, which then starts me to bring it back down. And I guess this is a mindset that I'm trying to warn people of, that, you know, getting into training and, you know, like going in with this all-in attitude can result in this yo-yo effect. And I don't know if it's the best way to go about it, especially if you're not needing to look a specific way on a specific day. And this is all things that I've said before, but it's just so important to understand, because what I want to actually go through today is more so some client stories and some things that, you know, I'm really noticing coming into the gym. Because if there's one thing I've noticed in the last, month or so, it's that people are becoming a lot more motivated around this time of year. You know, winter's just finishing up in Australia. The weather is definitely not better. It's actually raining as I make this podcast. But there's something going on where people have either had enough, you know, people have put on the weight during winter and now have that motivation to start bringing it back, whether it's the, you know, the world and, you know, our cities are somewhat coming back to normal out of COVID, and you start to go out a little bit more and you start to put on clothes that you used to have, and all of a sudden they don't really fit the same way, or you start to experience pain. You know, there's always that driving aspect where you feel something and you feel that something's not the same as it used to be, and then you want to bring it back to that point. And this is a couple of stories that, you know, I'm working with these people as we speak, and I think they're important for everyone to really understand. So I have one person who has just signed up to work with myself in online coaching, and we had a little discussion where they started on a separate challenge outside of myself with someone else, and, you know, they got macros planned, they got their workouts planned for them, actually working out from home with some dumbbells, and they said that the first 2 weeks was really good. It felt so good to move. It felt so good to actually start this journey and, you know, get this rolling. And they started to see some results and everything felt really good. And then it was an 8-week challenge. The first 2 weeks felt really good. The next 3 to 4 weeks were mediocre, where you feel okay, but you can feel yourself start to go off the wagon, because the plan was so rigid and it had like a specific amount of exercise it needed, and, you know, it had exactly the sort of work, the exact amount of food that they needed, so they had calorie plans and, you know, tracking on MyFitnessPal. After those first 2 weeks of initial motivation, it started to die off a little bit, and you started to crave those foods again, and you started to not be as motivated to get up early and train and do those things. And by the end of the 8-week challenge in the last 2 weeks, the mind had just completely shut off and was so over it. And didn't really know where to go next, because it felt like you'd sort of used all that energy in that first couple of weeks, and now it's just like, I'm not cut out for this. So one of the very first interventions that, you know, I spoke about was, okay, we need to bring your love back for training and realize that, you know, the journey you were following, yes, it was to, you know, lose a bit of weight, and yes, it was to tone up, and it was a very aesthetic goal. We need to look beyond that. We need to look beyond the aesthetics, because this is a hobby and this is something that, you know, can help in so many aspects of your life when it comes to, you know, just the journey to be strong, the journey to be healthy. It's something that gives back to you for the rest of your life. And so instead of this, this client was on somewhere around 1400 to 1500 calories. And the first thing that I did, even though it was a very small lady, I wanted to get those calories right back up to something that felt a little bit more maintainable. Because, you know, one of the things that they were saying to me was, all of a sudden, you know, like I'm cooking something for my kids, and, you know, I've got my separate meal that I'm meant to be eating, but now I look at it differently, and I, you know, I want it, and I feel like I'm missing out on that. And it's hard, you know, as someone that's looking at that and really genuinely wants to help the long term, not just the short term of reaching the body, because as you saw on my scale weights, it's losing weight is not temporary. Once you lose it, you still have to work so hard to keep it where it is. So unless you have this specific goal, like it's a wedding, like it's something else, you need to think longer term. You need to think about the next 10, 15, 20 years of your life, and who is that person? You know, what does that person look like? How often do they train? You know, how often do they eat out? What kind of person do you really want to be? Because if you go against the grain and you go against you, let's say you are an absolute foodie, right? You love going to new restaurants. You love trying new burgers. That's something that it makes you so happy on the inside. And, you know, it's a very social occasion and you bring all your friends along. And that's sort of what you do on the weekend. That's your thing. You go out and try out, you know, different restaurants and cafes and, you know, rate them on something. And you, that's something that really means something to you. Then is it better to, you know, is losing 5 kilos, right, but losing that huge aspect of your life, something that makes you extremely happy, is that worth it? I can't give you that answer. The only person that can give that answer is you. And if you say yes to that, then you have to do it wholeheartedly. You know, you have to say, all right, cool. And you have to be happy. You have to be, you know, ecstatic and grateful of that opportunity to be able to put yourself in a place of self-restriction. This is a reason why I really like fasting, right? I like fasting because internally for me, I feel good that I'm able to restrict myself from that. I've always been someone who overeats. I've always been someone who can't leave a single piece of food on their plate. Even if I'm full to the brim of food, I'll always get that last spoonful in because I don't know. It's just something that's a part of me. And, you know, going through the comps really helped with that. But that's something that I learned about myself. And it's something that I really have to manage in a different way. And fasting really helped with that because instead of having to regulate exactly how much I was eating in a meal, I just got rid of the meal altogether. And that personally really helped with my mindset of food, and it changed the way that I think about things. It's not something that necessarily, you know, I definitely don't recommend to everybody. And is it better than eating 4, you know, normal meals a day? Yes, no, maybe, you know, I'm not going to be the person to talk about that. But I think all of the different options have their place. So, you know, I had this client who was looking at everything that they were doing, and they were just getting over it, and they felt like they were just sacrificing all this stuff and the results were happening so slow. And I said, we've got to take a big step back and we really need to look at the overall picture. During this 8-week challenge, as bad as you're feeling now leaving out of it because, you know, you started to feel really crappy at the end of it, you did something great. You know, you learned things about yourself, you learned things about your health and your fitness and your body that only going through a challenge like that can really show you. You know, it started to open you up to different ways of living. It started to open you up to different ways of eating. It started to change your mindset on, you know, what's important to you and what's not, and what you can give up and what you still need in your life. So it was a great thing. Regardless of how you feel at the end, you should be proud of yourself that you even went through that, because a lot of people will just, you know, completely ignore it and not want anything, you know, just, I don't need a change. I don't need anything. You know, I'm happy the way that I am. Good on you, you know. But I feel like, you know, taking any aspect of training and fitness and eating and, you know, weightlifting or training for a 5K or any of these things, it's something that constantly betters you. It's something that always can make you feel empowered and make you feel like you're progressing in yourself. You know, and people take different avenues of doing that. Some people, you know, go to uni for, you know, 8 to 10 years to learn a new skill set. Some people pick up a trade. Some people learn a language. You know, there's so many ways that you can, you know, better yourself. But I personally feel like taking this route and, you know, like really focusing on the intricates of your lifestyle and what's going into your body and what you're giving out from your body, getting a good understanding of what you're doing there is one of the best ways to prolong your life and to live a more quality life in those years that you have. So the first thing that we did was bump up those calories so that there was, I almost took away all the restrictions, because at 1400 calories and 1500 calories, that's a lot of restrictions. And I don't think that's a bad thing for someone to be on those calories. I've been down in those areas, you know, in the past for short periods of time, and there's nothing inherently wrong with the number, but it's the mindset that's, you know, put upon that. Because as soon as I said that, and as soon as I said, all right, we're going to go from 1500 calories to somewhere around 1800 to 1900, and we're just going to give you some room that when you feel like you want a little bit of extra food, you can have it, the fear instantly came in through their eyes, and, you know, just sort of looked at me and was like, 1900, I'm not going to be able to lose weight at 1900. And, you know, didn't even really want to look at me and didn't know what to say. And, you know, started to think I was full of shit while I was telling this. And I said, you have to take a step back. Why are you thinking in such short term, you know, view? Yes, if we bump the calories up, the weight loss may be slower. That's something we have to accept. That's something we've got to go. But think about it as, when you were on such low calories and you were trying to motivate yourself to, you know, do all these other things, what ended up happening was the mindset that you had started to become very negative, and it stopped you from doing more because you felt so drained, you felt so restricted, you felt like everything was getting taken away from you and it didn't work well with you. That's why as the challenge went on and it went from, you know, doing 3 sets of 10 or whatever to 5 sets of 10, that change felt really difficult because everything was restricted. So in the early stages of starting a fitness journey, and this goes for anyone that's going out there now, and, you know, as I'm seeing with a lot of people, you know, deciding that the time is now to start thinking about it, your body and your fitness, don't always start in like a really low calorie deficit. Get yourself, because, you know, tracking your food and understanding how much you should eat versus like dieting at a specific calorie amount that someone has set for you or you've set for yourself, they're two different skills. They're not necessarily the same. One is getting a good understanding of food and your relationship with food, and the other one is, all right, that's it, we're taking away all the stuff that you like and we're putting you on this. If you're not ready for that, especially if you don't have a good understanding of how to track and how to sort of like hack your macros a little bit so you don't spend the whole day hungry, you know, where should the protein go, where, how much fat should I have, and, you know, what are good sources of these sort of macros, if you don't know any of that, then you're going to have a really hard time starting and just turning around and telling your PT or your friends, oh yep, I'm on a 1500 calorie diet and I'm going to, you know, I should lose 5 kilos in the next 6 weeks. Yeah, that's great, but how long are you going to stay on those 1500 calories for? You have to change the way you're thinking to this short term, like, I'm doing this for this long and then I'm going back to normal, because that's not going to happen. I can show you data from anyone where if you go too restrictive, there's going to be a time where it mirrors and there's going to be a time where it flips itself on its head and you try and basically eat back, you know, and, you know, take back all the calories that you have restricted in the first place. So a better understanding and a better relationship with training and eating and, you know, doing it for the right reasons is 10 times more important than the actual numbers that you're on. And if you give yourself a longer timeline, I could have said that this was an 8 week or a 6 week or a 10 week, you know, journey for myself. I even think 16 weeks is a short time, you know, but that's still 4 months of change. And usually that's, you know, that can be a good amount of time to really like solidify, all right, this is who I am now. At the end of the day, your personal preferences need to be taken into account when you're starting a plan. You know, that's why I really struggle with like, I guess cookie cutter programs where, you know, like they're given to sort of everyone at the same amount. I don't think there's anything wrong with that because, you know, I am a believer that all forms of lifting and all forms of training is a good thing. So, you know, like if you gave the same program to everybody, then yeah, you know, like for the people that follow it, I'm sure they're going to feel better because more movement usually equals a better well-being and just feeling better in general. However, if there's not that, you know, one-to-one feedback, or you know, there's not a place for you to actually voice your concerns or to, you know, turn back to and actually talk to someone and be like, look, I tried this and it felt like this and it didn't work and I struggled with this. If you're not having that, then you're left to your own devices, and that's where the frustration of everything can start to really boil down. So my suggestion is that if you are going to, you know, join a challenge or to start with a coach, you need to find someone where you can actually have a good relationship with them. And that's not because it's gift of the gab, you know, like, and you know, they're going to be able to talk and sell more or anything like that. It's a very important part of it because your motivation to continue training and to continue on this path to actually get you to the point that you want. It's a long process. There's no other way around it. It's not ever going to be a 4 week journey. It's not going to be an 8 week journey. It's not even going to be a 1 year journey. This is the rest of your life that you get to make exactly how you want it, and you get to be as fit as you want. You know, you can make your body exactly what you want given enough time and given enough consistency. So if you have someone in your corner that you can actually bounce off of, and you can actually be like, you know, I want to try this. I want to try fasting. I want to, you know, try and eliminate carbs from my diet. I want to, you know, I think I want to pick up powerlifting and I want to start lifting heavy. Or, you know what, I think I want to train for a 5K run. You know, and those thoughts are running through your mind like crazy, you know, because you feel stuck, you know, like sometimes your body goes into that state where, you know, you're thinking of all the different things that you can do to get you to your goal faster and faster. And, you know, what's the quickest way to get there? It's like anyone, you know, if someone came up to you now and offered you know, they give you $1 million, you know, like, and they say that I'm going to give you, we're going to get rich quick, you know, it's a scam. It feels like a scam, you know, like when you think that you're going to get all of this results and all of these benefits, you know, very quickly and just all at once without working hard for it, without anything, just yeah, take it. It's never short-lived. You know, even the people that win Tats Lotto, they're normally the people that, you know, go broke quite fast, you know, because they haven't learned the processes of how to actually earn money and how to actually feel good and I guess manage it well. It's the exact same thing in fitness. Right? If you don't learn the back end and if you don't learn the processes behind and the relationship that you have with food and training, then even if you do lose a couple of kilos, even if you do get close to your goal by sheer luck, just by going 100% as fast as you possibly can and doing, you know, 2 hours of cardio a day and, you know, doing it not, you know, an unhealthy way or, you know, an unsustainable way is probably a better way to put it. You'll lose it again very fast. You'll lose it again quicker than you can blink your eye and actually enjoy it. And then we'll be working together 20 years from now where you're chasing that again and your mind once again is going through all the different things that you can do to get there fast. Get that out of your mind. Take that away from the process of, you know, how long is this going to take me? And actually just focus on the things that are needed. Focus on the things that you know work for you. You know, instead of constantly trying to find the next thing and the next thing and what's going to work this time. No, learn how to stick to one thing because learning how to stick to it is going to be more beneficial than trying to find the right thing. Because the more and more people that, you know, like get into the industry and more people that get others' results, it's telling you that there isn't one right way to do this, right? My way right now of, you know, going into the gym constantly. So, 5 to 6 days of training, upper, lower, upper, lower, arms, abs, like whatever you really want to do, it can work, if you can stick to it. But if you're following something that you can't stick to, then what's the point? But I guess my point in all of what I'm trying to say, as a part of that story, is that sustainability and finding a way of doing this for a long time, and actually finding a way to make this a part of your day-to-day life, is way more important than following, and feeling good about yourself because you stuck to something super strict for 6 weeks and you lost the weight, and then now you feel like it's time to relax, right? For some people that works. For some people who have a specific date that they need to get ready for, okay, fine. You worked hard to get there, take your break. But if you're looking just to feel better overall, admit to yourself that this is going to be a lifelong endeavor, and get happy about it. Be grateful for it. Be excited for the journey that is going to come. And the good way to do that is to really think about different ways of progression, right? To think about different ways that you can feel good and get that little dopamine boost and that serotonin hit, by focusing on different things. For example, a lot of the clients that I work with, especially for the ones that, they've signed up for a gym membership, and 3 months go by and they realize all I've done is walk on a treadmill, and I could just do that. I could just walk outside and, get the same results, because they just, think. And we sit down and we talk about it, and I ask them, why haven't you gone and explored? How come you haven't, picked up some dumbbells and tried anything with those? What's going through your mind? And at 90% of the time, 9 out of 10 people, they say, I'm afraid. Like, I'm scared of that side of the gym. I'm scared of the free weights. I'm scared of the dumbbells. I'm scared that someone is going to, I'm going to do an exercise and I'm going to do it wrong, and everyone's going to laugh at me, and everyone's going to be thinking that, no, what are they doing, and think it's hilarious. And I don't think that's a good state to be in. And I don't think it helps that, like a lot of social media, there is a lot of that, and, people taking videos of people in gyms and things like that. But take the chance, right? It doesn't matter, because you're working on you. And one of the main things that I work on with people like that is purely getting comfortable. There's no point talking about calories. There's no point talking about reps and sets, or even form for that matter, if the confidence and, that ability to just go in there and just feel like you can give 100% intensity and train like no one is watching, just like you can dance like no one is watching, to be able to train like it's just you and only you and you're all that matters. If you can't get to that point, then none of this other stuff matters. So you have to find out exactly where you are in that journey. Okay. Now, you can fast track that by getting a coach who understands you and knows sort of where you're at and, can sort of walk you through it. But, no matter how you're going to do it, you have to find out what are the mental barriers right now from you training harder, for you from training with more intensity, for you to go bigger and better and to go on to the next step, and work on those things so that it's a possibility. Okay. Another story that I want to talk about is one of Tali's best friends, right? We're talking about someone who has never really stepped foot in a gym, has never overly, never trained or used dumbbells or barbells or, done that sort of exercise before. Obviously got to a point where she felt like she was ready for a change, not just physically, but mentally. And, you see a lot of people on social media and stuff that, post all their training workouts and they give off this vibe of like, yeah, I know what I'm doing and I love life and I feel fantastic and you will too if you train. That's what we see on social media these days. And anyway, she got to that point where it was time to make a change for herself, and she found an online coach, based not in the city that she was at, in another city, and basically started up with them and said, I want to get fit. I want to change my body. I want to lose a couple of kilos and I want to feel really good about myself. And what came from that was someone that has never experienced tracking calories, never experienced free weight training, started with this company or this coaching platform, and was sent an absolute bombardment of information. Was sent just like literal, you know, tens of hundreds of pages of how to track your calories, gave very good detail, you know, exactly like, you know, this is your protein, this is your fats, this is your carbs, you know, like this is a meal plan, this is exactly how many calories I want you to be on, this is the exact exercise I want you to be on, you're going to be doing barbell squats, you're going to be doing hip thrusts, you're going to be doing shoulder press, you're going to be doing, you know, all these exercises that she has never even heard of in her life. This is everything you're going to be doing now, and you're going to feel fantastic. And Talia shows me some of the information that's been sent to her, and I take a look at it, and I know this lady who's doing this, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, I'm conflicted, because the information is correct. The information that she is being given will work. I like what they're saying. They're not wrong in anything that they're saying. The approach that they're taking, there's the, you know, it's a good blueprint to get to your results. But the trouble is, she has no idea what they're talking about in that current moment. It's just a complete state of overwhelm. So you look at it and you're like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? Right? Now, luckily for her, myself and Talia, you know, who train and, you know, understand things, and, you know, we were able to sit down and sort of help her through a few things and start it. And she's got a partner who trains, and, you know, it was a little bit easier for her to like dive herself in, and, you know, like she's taken it with full steps forward, and, you know, she signed up at Anytime Fitness now, where I work, and I see her train, and I saw her train actually yesterday for the first time, and it was awesome to see, because even though there was so much it was information overload, and there was a lot of overwhelming stuff in there that, you know, a lot of people would take one look at and just be like, I can't do this, you know, I've made a mistake, is really trying her hardest to take it on board. And the thing that I noticed as well is, the second you start to do that, it rubs off on other people. So even though you're not getting it 100%, you're putting your effort out there, and people see that, it makes other people motivated to try as well. And then you've got people talking to you that, you know, have similar goals, like, yes, you get it, you know, that's amazing. And then you inspire them to get into training, and, you know, it's this huge spiraling effect. So with that, it's very, very hard, I guess, to take all of this information and actually turn it into something useful. So you have to be very careful when you're going through, when you decide to work with someone and, you know, you don't really know what to expect. You have to know exactly what you're getting into, you know, and you have to be able to understand that if you're going to take this journey and you're willing to sacrifice all these things, like, it's going to be hard, and you're going to have to work very hard, and you're going to have to get yourself out of your comfort zone. But that's one of the beautiful parts of this. You know, it takes you out of your comfort zone every day from a mental and physical aspect, right? It's mentally tough to say no to all the food in the lunchroom. You know, it's mentally tough to, you know, pick yourself up and go to the gym, or wake up early before work to get to the gym, or to finish a day of work and then, you know, come after that. Or if you've got a baby at home and, you know, they need looking after, and you have to find time around that, because that is obviously your number one priority. And, you know, it's mentally challenging, and then it's physically challenging, because you're going to go into the gym, and the whole point of being there is that you're going to be better than yesterday. So you're getting both of those aspects working together, of being mentally and physically challenged, and the end result is more rewarding than any aesthetic can bring. It's more rewarding than, you know, having a six pack. If you can train your brain to think that, absolutely it is. You know, that was my favorite part of it, because, you know, I would finish a day and it was like, fuck yeah, I hit everything that I needed to. Even if my weight wasn't where I wanted it to, even if, you know, I looked more bloated that day than I did before, I stuck to the plan, I fixed the plan, you know, and I did well. So the advice that I gave to her, you know, when she got all of this information and she's looking at it and is like, has no idea where to start with it all, I said, look, bring it back a second, all right? Yes, there's so much information in there, and it's good information, right? They've given you good stuff to work with. Take it back, bring it back, center yourself, find out the main things that you can work on. right? Go back to that checklist and be like, all right, cool. What are they actually asking from you right now, right? Okay, well, they're asking me to follow a weight plan. They're asking me to count my calories and track them. You know, they're asking me to take certain things and water and supplements and stuff like that. You know, and you have all these things that they're asking you to do. Even if before starting working with these guys, you weren't ticking any of these boxes, or you were ticking one of those boxes, and now, given the more information that you're having right now, you're now able to tick two or three boxes, that's a win, right? If for the whole week, you know, you just slowly add little bits and pieces and just try a little bit harder and try a little bit harder and, you know, add on top of the things that you're already doing, you're going to be in a really good place, right? So manage those expectations, you know, and don't hate yourself if you don't get 100%, you know, in that first week. It's not about getting 100%. It's never about getting 100% unless you have that personality type where you're all or nothing, which, once again, you know, I've spoken about, it's, you've got to be very careful with it. But build it up slowly, right? Be happy that you're taking this chance to better yourself and start to, you know, actually improve and get better. You know, this is not a race. It is only a race against yourself, right? And you're trying to outrun the unhealthy and the unfit you, that you, in the direction that you were heading, and you're trying to just flip that and outrun it and go the opposite direction. Even if it takes you 10 years, you're not going anywhere. You have all the time in the world to feel strong and to get healthy and to get fit. And a part of that is actually celebrating those wins early. You know, when you drink more water for the day, yes, hooray. You know, people look at that and it's like, dude. And I guess this is hard because, you know, like I said, I fall in this middle area between, you know, bodybuilder and, like, you know, lifestyle, and, you know, and, like, it's all about, you know, fitting it into your lifestyle. And bodybuilder's like, fuck that, that's ridiculous. You know, you have to, it's about fitting everything else around that one goal and, you know, and getting better. I like both. I like both ways of doing it. I think they're both personality dependent and, you know, the time of your life dependent, right? You know, for someone who has no other, for someone that has no other responsibilities, you know, other than work, eat, train, sleep, then dude, go all out and give 100% and show the world what you're made of. If you work full time, have kids, or have a partner who you're not looking after, but, you know, who you have to take into consideration, if you are young and enjoy going out, you know, and have a big social life and not ready to give that up, then don't feel guilty about it. Don't hate yourself for that. Work out what things are, you know, what things can we bring into this journey, you know, like what things can we start to add? Because, you know, there's, and I'll leave it on this because this, you know, I think this is a really important thing. And this is something that I get to watch from a very, very close proximity and, you know, and see this happen in real time, right? Let's take Tali, for example, my wife. When we finished the wedding in March, Tali turned around to me and said, you know what? Like, I trained so hard for the wedding. And I trained so hard to, you know, look a certain way and feel a certain way. And I thought that was going to make me feel better. And now that the wedding's done, I need a break. I'm over it, right? I'm over, like, you know, going to the gym, like, after work. And I'm over, you know, forcing myself to get to that point. And I was so proud in that moment because I'm like, yes, you know what you want, right? You understand what you want. And I know for a fact that life comes in phases. Your weight comes in phases. It's partly seasonal. It's partly, you know, like, there's so many factors to it. But understanding exactly where you're at in life is a huge part of this, and managing those expectations. All right. So time has gone along from March until, you know, about a month ago or so ago. And we were talking, and she started to not feel as great about her body. She started to not feel, like, you know, as good. And I personally know that she looks fantastic, you know, and I barely noticed because it's, you know, it's someone that you love. It's hard. You know, those conversations are very hard. But she turned around and was like, you know, I'm not happy at the moment. And all of a sudden, you know, you start to see the brain ticking, you start to see like, okay, you know what, maybe I'll, you know, I'm going to start making juices, or, you know, I'm going to try Pilates. And then we do that for a little while. And then obviously her best friend got into training, and then, you know, they started to talk more about exercise, and, you know, she was helping with form, and, you know, was going through trying to help her and make sure that she stayed on track. And then all of a sudden she's back in at the gym, and she's, you know, she's working out, you know, and she's, you know, and she's eating healthier, and she's making better decisions, and she's helping me make better decisions, you know, got her on track. And it happened so slowly. It wasn't this thing that had to be all, you know, like, that's it, I'm making a change, that's, I'm done, and now, you know, it's 7 days a week of training, and my calories are at this, and everything is perfect, right? It was a nice slow progress. And I personally think it's just one of the best ways to go, because then it happens organically, it happens naturally, and it's more likely to stick in the long term, because it's like you add one thing and it starts to feel good, and then you reap the benefits of that, and then it's like, all right, cool, this is a part of my day-to-day life now. And then boom, you add the next thing, and then you keep that in for a while, and then it all starts to roll. And all of a sudden you get to the end of, you know, end of the month, end of the year, you know, and all of a sudden you've got all these brand new routines, and you've got these brand new things that you've added into your life that make you feel fantastic, and now they're there to stay. You didn't need someone else on the outside to tell you this is what you're doing now, and, you know, to get those benefits of feeling better on the inside. So whatever kind of personality you are, you know, wherever you're at in stage of your life, you need to understand that it depends. You have to take your personality, you have to take your lifestyle factors into account when you're making your next steps into dropping the body fat. If you've got 5 kilos to lose in, you know, then really understand what that's going to take. If you want that done in, you know, 4 weeks or 6 weeks, understand the amount of restriction that takes, and take it seriously, you know, and get there and do it, you know, and feel grateful that you're going, that you can do that. Or keep some of those other things in your life, give yourself a longer time frame, give yourself 6 months to lose 5 kilos, and then the stress starts to get taken away, and you get there a little bit slower, yeah, but those things that you learn within those 6 months and the habits that you pick up in those 6 months are going to be slightly more likely to stick and actually keep you going and actually feel good as you do it. So I hope all of this makes sense. This is a little bit of a ramble today to talk about, you know, where other people's journeys are at. You know, I like to bring some of those other stories in, because we're all at different parts of this. You know, this is a lifelong journey. This is a journey that I'm still on to this day. And, you know, people that are 60 and were professionals and still are professionals, and, you know, like people just everyday living, you know, that are slowly putting on weight due to work and, you know, and the change in work from home and things like that, you know, we're all on different parts of the spectrum. But the one thing that needs to stay constant is that understanding that, you know, getting close to there's a million ways to do this. There's a million ways to actually bring your weight down, or to bring your muscle mass up, or to feel stronger, and, you know, to be able to, you know, be pain free. But take your steps, take the steps that you need, and take them in your time frame. You're not in a race with anybody else. You're on your time frame, and you can create your own artificial time frames, but at the end of the day, they're yours. And if you sometimes take away that time constraint from all of this, you can sometimes be a lot happier in the process and actually get there with more enjoyment, more fulfillment, and longer term benefits of it all. I hope this helps. I'm KCPT Audio, and thank you all for listening. All right, you all have a good day.